guys. Welcome to the Big Blue United podcast. My name is TJ. I'm here with Colin. Dan is off tonight for whatever reason. Colin, how are you? What's going on, man?
I'm good. I have oh no, it didn't save, huh? Oh shit. I had some music queued up for this. Wait, no, nope. Looks like I do still. It's a new dawn. It's a new day. It's a new
life for me. Yeah, it's a new dawn. It's a new day. Is this I'm assuming it
wait.
And I'm
feeling good.
There we go.
Yeah. Nina Simone, baby.
You do feel good?
Oh, well, I mean, a lot of things happened in the last 24 hours that should make us feel good.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But first, please follow us on Big Blue United on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow us on Twitter, BBU Pod Boys of the Z. Our sponsor this week is ButcherBox. ButcherBox is a service that ships fresh and sustainable meat and wild-caught seafood directly to your door. You can either choose one of their curated boxes or customize your own package with a huge variety of different cuts of meats and wild seafood to choose from. Between right now and the end of the month, the 31st, you can get choose your own chicken thighs, ground beef, and steak tips added to your box for an entire year for free. So it's a great time to sign up. Check out butcherbox.com. Highly recommend it. We all loved what they shipped us. It was really good quality. Obviously, the price of things is getting crazy right now, so it's nice to save a little bit of cash on some meats. ButcherBox.com. Meats. All right, yeah, so Saquon's gone. If anyone had ever listened to this podcast before, you could probably guess how we feel about it. Unfortunately, the most outspoken member of the pod about his Saquon hate is not here today, but we'll try to convey Dan's feelings as well as we can. But I couldn't imagine signing this dude for 3 years, $37 million. I think it was a terrible deal for the Eagles. I think it's an acharacteristic move for who is Howie Roseman, who is, in my opinion, one of the best GMs in football. I think looking forward at the Eagles and how they've drafted, they drafted super well. They've just lost two of their starting linemen. Who else retired? They had one more retiree that was important. Fletcher Cox.
Fletcher Cox.
They're basically their best defensive interior. So those are three huge positions that they're all going to have to re-sign, as well as re-sign or sign this year or draft, as well as re-sign, the bevy of good draft picks they have made over the past few seasons. And to go out and spend $13 million on a running back, I think is a kind of a joke and a stupid decision for them. And I think this makes the Eagles maybe better next year, but in the midterm, I don't think it makes them better at all. I think it puts them in a salary cap position they don't want to be in down the road. And especially after they see, Saquon is injury prone and he, potentially going to miss games next year. And when I say potentially, I mean, it's probably 100% chance he's going to miss at least one or two games next year. So I'm happy he's gone. I'm glad the Eagles are wasting the cap space on him, and I can't wait to see him next year.
Yeah, it screams to me, honestly, pure pettiness. I think the Eagles think that this is such a gut-wrenching thing for the Giants to have to deal with that they're really getting under our skin about it. When it's so funny because it's so ironic. They're almost like too blind to see that they made a blunder of ridiculous proportions, not one that we've seen in a very long time from this franchise. I mean, you look at the deal that King Henry got with the Ravens. It's like it was 2 years, and it was like, I don't know, $8 million a year.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. That guy's better than Saquon at this point, and he comparable ages, I suppose, not too far off from each other, but still, like,
I'd say they're very, very comparable. They're different type backs, but I mean, in terms of tread and in terms of injury proneness, pretty similar.
It like, okay, I guess they're thinking, you know what they're probably going to do? They're probably going to throw the ball to him constantly. They might not even run the ball with him a lot. They might try to do what we said we should do with him, but couldn't. But you know what?
They're going to realize that, if you want to do those kind of chip blocks, out in the flat sort of plays with him on third down, that he isn't capable of doing those things.
Garbage. He's garbage. So, he's one of the worst starting running backs in the league at pass blocking. Like,
yeah, I mean, in terms of, on third down, he's a liability. Presumably, if the Eagles, replace Kelsey and who was the other guy? Lane Johnson, I want to say. He's a starting you know, starting guy on their line for many years. If they're able to replace them and, you know, the Eagles line is as good as it was last year, which I think it was ranked number one, I'm sure he'll have a good year. You know, I'm sure he'll have big plays. I'm sure he'll look better than he did on the Giants to some degree. But, you know, at the on the other hand, what is the out on this deal? You know, I need to find a little bit more about it. But if you're stuck with this guy for, you know, 3 years, $13 million a year, you know, presumably he's going to play, you know, if you're lucky, he'll play 75% of the games and he can't play third down. Well, I don't, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not, there's people who say, you know, Giants fans are coping by saying things like this, or
no,
we're not coping, especially not on this podcast, because we never wanted Saquon to begin with. We never wanted him number two. We didn't want to re-sign him last year. We didn't want to pick up his fifth year option. And we certainly don't want to see him being overpaid by, you know, the new regime. People who, like, you know, we think are doing a decent job at this so far.
And a completely separate point, but equally as, poignant, I guess, would be the word for it, is the fact that he really could have, he proved himself. He proved what his true colors actually were. The lip service that he just gave us for the last couple of years about wanting to be a Giant for life was a bunch of cockamamie bullshit that was supposed to be eaten up by John Mara so he can get a big deal. He never cared about actually being on this team for the long term. He just wanted the bag. He got the bag and he went to the biggest scumbags in the league to get it. So guess what, guy? Enjoy the rest of your career that's going to be very, very short. And then you, oh yeah, oh, by the way, too, you're not in the biggest media market in the world. So sorry, those all those advertisements that you've been doing. Yeah, you'll still have them, but not nearly as much. You're a dope.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the best thing that Saquon could do right now is just turn straight heel. You know, with some of the stuff he's been saying on the internet, I've appreciated him kind of like letting his dickness out. You know, the facade is gone. You know, we know what kind of type of dude Saquon is, and he wanted money, which is fine. I think there's anything wrong with that at all. Just, you know, no reason to say you want to be a Giant for life when they basically offered you a similar deal last year, with a little bit less guaranteed money than you got. So basically you left for, you know, $2 to $3 million guaranteed money, which, you know, is fine. That's totally cool, man. You want to get paid? I totally get it. But don't try to say you want to be a Giant for life. It was BS. It was BS the whole time.
And like, don't go, you know, and well, I mean, he's shown himself to be such a sensitive baby over the last couple of years too, that this is the king moment of it. That whole Tiki conversation with him on Twitter is so funny. He could have taken the high road. And Tiki's no dummy. We've known this for years. He's not a stupid man. And granted, yeah, the words, without actually hearing him say it, unless you were listening to the radio show itself, it was tongue in cheek. It's a rivalry. We hate them. They hate us. He was going to say that because regardless of what Tiki said after, you know, towards the end of his career and right upon retirement about Eli and Coughlin and all that kind of stuff, at this point, honestly, it's water under the bridge. Nicky Snack said it himself on Twitter today. If Tiki comes to a game next season, we're all going to give him a standing ovation and cheer him when we play the Eagles. He should come the first game we play them there and just absolutely give him everything he ever wanted that we haven't given him in the last 15 years and boo the crap out of him, Saquon, when he gets on the field. So,
I mean, that'll be a fun game to go to next year at MetLife. I'm sure the tickets will be astronomically expensive for that.
Yeah.
Not that you care because you got the seasons. Maybe I'll fight your dad to go with you in that game. Can your dad and I box?
Yeah, I mean, you'll win because he's 73 years old.
I'm not very athletic or strong, but you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Saquon, goodbye.
Yeah. I love how after that happened and everything that has happened to this team in the last 24 hours, that news is so old news, even though we had to talk about it tonight, that like, I don't even really care anymore. It's great.
Yep, exactly. Before we kind of move on to the moves we did make, I also just want to mention that McKinney signed with Green Bay.
Yep.
4 years. I think it's $17 million a year, which is too much for him. I
mean, astronomical.
He's a good player. I just don't think that you want to invest $17 million in a safety.
Nope.
That's not, you know, the best safety in the NFL. He might be top 10, but he I don't think he's worth, you know, top money, the top contract for a safety in the league, which I think is what this is. So I think that, you know, Belton and Pinnock are going to be a good duo in the back end for us. The Giants went out and picked up Jalen Mills, who's a little bit more of a box guy, veteran minimum, going to be a rotational dude. I think that they're fine at safety. I'm okay with what we have in this team right now. It's totally,
and we'll draft someone inevitably.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. I wouldn't see
probably it. Later.
Yeah. All right. So let's review what we've done so far. I think obviously the biggest thing to talk about is a trade for Brian Burns. Giants at their second round pick, not the ones we got for the Leonard Williams trade. So 39 and fifth round pick next year,
which is incredible
for a 26-year-old pass rusher. Which is something the Giants have so desperately needed. You know, we got Kayvon. We thought Azeez Ojulari, you know, might have been the guy across from Kayvon. There's been any number of dudes we've had in and out. Lorenzo Carter, O'Shane Zimenez. You know, we've drafted a lot of people who haven't panned out. I'm just happy they went out. They saw a guy who I think has blown us up too a few times over the years when we've played the Panthers. Yeah. And they locked him up 5 years, $150 million. It's the second highest edge rushing contract in the league behind Blowey Josa. But you know, this is the premium you're going to pay for these dudes. And if you're going to send a second round pick, you're going to have to re-sign a guy. You're not going to spend that. You know, Joe Shane wouldn't do what he did to the Seahawks last year and you know, send a second round pick for a rental.
No, I mean, that was part of the deal. I'm sure in the conversation and you know, Shane and I'm forgetting the GM of Panthers off the top of my head. They have a good relationship, a good working rapport. So that the rumors were flying around that they were going to be talking to each other. And for some reason this year, you know, when you hear rumors about this team in the past, it was always just such a pipe dream. Like, it's so far has just been like, nope, these things are actually real and they're becoming real, real quick. Like, you heard about, oh, Burns is in the conversation. An hour later, he was traded. Like, yep. That's how quick it was. And, you know, frankly, with Bowen and his defense and how he wants to attack from the front and kind of, frankly, go back to the old Giants style of defense, where you're talking about the safeties that we currently have on the roster now. Right now, those safeties are better than the safeties we had in the past when we had better this kind of caliber of pass rush. So all those people that are on Twitter that are freaking out, there's so many people that are looking for the negative right now, which, you know me, I'm the blue colored glasses have been my routine for the last all of my life with this team, but less so as of recent. This time I think people are really trying hard to poo poo a lot of things that are going on. They're like, oh, great. Yeah, we have Burns. We have this up front. We have this, that, and the other thing. But, oh, what about the defensive backs? It's really crappy back there. They're going to be horrible. It's like, wait a second. The draft didn't even happen yet. Like,
I disagree. I think the Giants have – I think Deontay Banks had a quiet, really good rookie year.
Yeah,
and
core.
He especially improved a lot towards, you know, the end of the season. I think he's going to be a very good cornerback in this league. I mean, I know we mentioned the safeties. Dane Belton, when he came in at the end of the year and they gave him some more playing time, he looked great.
Yeah.
And I think that all of these things are going to come together. And I think that, you know, this is going to be sort of the opposite of what we were looking at with Wink, and that, you know, the cornerbacks are going to be on an island and we're going to rush everybody.
Yeah.
Now we have, you know, competent pass rushers where we can maybe send four guys and get pressure. We don't need to send six guys every single play and then, you know, leave Trey Hawkins, you know, your sixth round pick last year out on an island by himself. And, you know, I don't want to get down on that guy. You know, he looked good in training camp. He didn't look so great during the regular season, but it's a hard position to learn. Not everybody can jump into it and be great. So whether or not he's the starter across from, you know, Banks next year, which I don't think he will be. I think that one of the last things the Giants are going to need to do in free agency is find a cornerback, and they'll probably end up drafting one too. But there's plenty of other, you know, there's plenty of slot guys on this team that can perform. There's plenty of fourth, you know, guys. There's good depth. They just need a quality starter. And in terms of, you know, what the pass rush is going to look like, I love it. And I love this move, and the deal might be a little much, but the Giants just have like been lacking what it has really, you know, historically made them successful and what they've always prided themselves on, which was, you know, defense, pass rush, front seven. That's what's won them Super Bowls every time. So the closer we can get back to that, the happier I am.
And people forget too, Like, yeah, we had a crappy year last year. But guess what? We had two of the best linebackers we've had in years playing. Yep. So we got them back there. We got Burns, Kayvon. You got, you know, Ojulari, who will be a perfect situation.
He's a great spell, man. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Agreed. And then, you know, you're going to have Dexter Lawrence, who's, you know, I will say the best defensive tackle in football, at least at, you know, I don't know exactly what the 3-5 technique sort of thing is that he's playing, but whichever one he's playing, he's the best at it. They'll need somebody opposite him. I think that the draft is pretty deep, especially in the middle rounds. I just think they'll have to go pick somebody up. But I also think, you know, who's the guy on our team? Ellis?
Which one?
The defensive tackle.
Well,
I forget. I'm blanking right now. I mean, jerk.
It's too bad A'shaun Robinson got signed by the Panthers. Yeah. That's kind of a bummer. That he was quietly pretty good last year as a rotational guy. Nuchez, is that who you were thinking of?
I don't remember. Just forget I said it.
Roches, whatever his name is.
Oh yeah, Nunez Roches.
Yeah, I mean he was pretty good too. I mean, but these are like, you have Dexter. You're going to draft somebody probably earlier on, I would imagine. Not first or second, but I'd say like a third or fourth round pick.
I could see second round being a defensive interior.
Maybe.
I actually think, we'll touch a little bit on the draft later, I think. Yeah. But in terms of just free agency wise, I think that seeing some of the deals that a lot of these tackles have gotten, the market is overpaying quite a bit for these guys. Mm-hmm. I think after the Chris Jones deal, we saw, you know, a lot of huge contracts. Christian Wilkins, Justin Madubuke, Leonard Williams re-signed with the Seahawks for 3 years, $64.5 million. I mean, people are getting paid that shouldn't be getting paid. So I think it's in the best interest for the Giants to maybe stay out of the defensive interior free agent market, or at least for the guys who are a little more top tier. I think if you want to get a rotational guy, you do that. But I think the starter, you look to draft somebody in maybe the second or third round. But anyway, we will need to do that. We will need to sign a cornerback. Before we go on to anything else, Colin, do you have any cornerbacks that you like? I know the Giants were looking at Darius Williams from the Jags. He went to the Rams. I think there's some mid-level guys out there that are number two that are pretty good options for them. Is there anyone in particular you like? I have a couple guys that I like.
No, not really, to be honest. Yeah. They're not like excitable names, so I don't know which one to pick out that's better.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, Kendall Fuller is probably the best guy. I think that he's going to be overpriced. I wouldn't want to go for him. But my favorite guy off the Colts, Kenny Moore. Mm. I think you get him for Sportrack says around $8 million a year, 77.4 on PFF last year. Mm. He's 28. I think this is a guy that you kind of maybe pay a couple extra bucks for. He's emerging, had a good season. I don't know where he'll end up, but he might be a little pricey for us, but there's also Steve Nelson from the Texans who I like. He's a little bit older, but he could fill in for a year. Chidobe Awuzie. Did I pronounce that right?
I don't know.
Anyway, he was on the Bengals. Pretty solid, but pretty solid, you know, number two corner, 28 years old, 6 feet tall. Someone who can come in and you know, potentially compete for that number two spot if they do draft somebody a higher.
A $6 or $7 million a year player would be nice. I think that's a targeted. Eight is a little much, and anything further than that I don't think is in our wheelhouse at this point.
I think all those guys I mentioned you get for 7-8 million.
Yeah, that's fine.
Fuller excluded, who will probably be about 14 a year would be my guess.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
I just don't think you know, the Giants are, what, we have about 10 million left in cap space without the potential restructures of Andrew Thomas, Dexter Lawrence, and Bobby Okereke.
Which, you know, is coming.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well. I know Shane, you know, when he got hired, said he didn't like to kick the can down the road. But in terms of, you know, these deals, these are guys that are young and in their prime. I'm probably going to finish out their deals with the team.
I'd say.
Yeah. So you could probably prorate those signing bonuses out a little bit. I don't think you're going to hit that dead money issue you might have by kicking the can down the road that a lot of teams have, you know, ran to. New Orleans, in particular, always screwing themselves over doing that. All right, let's get back to other guys. And I want to mention my second favorite signing after the Brian Burns trade, which is Drew Lock coming in as the backup quarterback for 1 year, $5 million.
Let's start there for the offensive side of the ball. Or did we get everybody on defense? Were we missing anybody?
Yes, we did. We mentioned Jalen Mills. We mentioned Brian Burns. Okay, and I think that's the only two guys we've signed so far defensively.
Yeah, Drew Lock. So, like I was texting you guys earlier today, and my dad for that matter, is that the biggest difference, people are making jokes about like, oh, look, the Giants have two Daniel Jones in the quarterback room now. It's like, no, there's a big difference. They may look similar, but they play very different games.
Yes.
One guy actually feels like he deserves to be on the field. The other guy is a deer in headlights at this point in his career. Drew Lock may be a little bit of a wild card. He's definitely got a little bit of that Brett Favre-ness in him in terms of just being like a riverboat gambler type.
There
which,
go.
You know what? When have we had a guy like that?
Tommy DeVito?
Yeah, no, with a guy with like the physical
who actually has arm talent? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And like he loves to sling the ball. I saw some stat today that like he had one of the highest percentages of completed long balls for the amount of passes thrown in this past season, which is like
he's got some long balls, baby.
Well, you know what? And he sees it and he goes for it. Jones would see some ghosts flying around in the defensive backfield and then decide to check down or get sacked or throw or pick or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I like Lock better. I like his personality. I think he's funny. I like watching him on the sidelines, you know, all those stupid videos of him rapping make me laugh. Yeah. So, you know, at least it's someone with a personality. Daniel Jones, you look to him in an interview and, you know, he's just got his eyes wide open and he's just spouting, you know, the typical nonsense that you might hear. You know, someone with no personality say, we gave it 110% and I want to thank my teammates. Say,
and not for nothing. This move is very telling on the lack of or the perception of where they feel Jones is actually at with this injury. I don't think they would have rushed to get a quarterback. Granted, he's only 1 year, $5 million, which is not tremendously crazy. By the way, Tyrod got $8 million for 2 years, and that was the reason why we went five instead of him, which is unfortunate. He left. We liked him a lot. Ty God, you know, it was a nice
all
run,
the power but... to all the power to Tyrod. I'm happy that he doesn't have to move his family.
Yeah,
just keep the kids in the same school, go to the same place for work, just put on a different uniform, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and hell, the guy who's playing in front of him might be in the White House at some point.
That's right. If you listeners haven't heard, Aaron Rodgers is going to be vice president, running with RFK Jr. They're running on a campaign of crystals, essential oils, and medical misinformation. So if you guys are down with that, I highly suggest voting for them.
Well, it's third party, so it'll be interesting what it does to everybody. All right, we're going to stop talking about that.
No. Let's do some ayahuasca and talk about Aaron Rodgers and RFK Jr. for the rest of the pod.
Everyone would really love that. So yes, anyway, Tyrod, enjoy. It's fine. We no love lost. Like, it's all good. You know, wish you stuck around, but you were just a little too rich for our blood. Back to Drew Lock. I think they're looking at him, and I bet that Dable is looking at him like, huh, this is the perfect kind of quarterback for me to try to instill my quarterback knowledge into. We try to, again, with the term, kick the can down the line with Daniel Jones, which they do not want on this roster any longer. Buyer's remorse. You know, it was out there. Rich Eisen said it himself. Like, that was the big word at the combine, is that they're done, quote unquote, done with Jones. Well, they're not done because they still have 2 years to basically deal, or 1 year to deal with.
1 year if he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah. Which that clause in that contract, what the hell was Shane like held over the fire? Does like Daniel Jones's agent know something about him that someone else doesn't? Like,
so for the people out there who don't know what we're talking about, there's a clause in Daniel Jones' contract that if he gets injured this year and can't pass a physical on a certain date, I think the beginning of the league year in 2025, then he's automatically given, I think it's $25 or $35 million injury guarantee. $25 million injury guarantee. So knowing his history, it's an interesting clause for Shane to have put in there. Perhaps that was part of the negotiation where it sort of gives the Giants an out after year two, but not if he gets injured.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that plays. So, I mean, you know, I think last year we did see, you know, Russell Wilson get benched because they didn't want to pay him. We saw Derek Carr not playing because they didn't want to pay him if he got hurt. So, I mean, you might end up seeing Daniel Jones never play and Drew Lock is your guy.
And you know what?
Fine.
There's a bunch of people on Twitter too that are just like, what are the Giants doing? Don't we need to get a quarterback in the draft? And it's just like,
we're going
to
draft a quarterback.
Why don't you stop making it obvious how stupid you are by putting it out on Twitter or X or whatever, and realize that this move affects nothing in terms of where they can draft a QB or if they want to, or it doesn't matter where. It could be in the first, it could be in the second, it could be in the third. You know, that doesn't matter at all. $5 million for 1 year doesn't affect that whatsoever. We might have another quarterback that we are very excited about come this draft.
And you know, I don't think that this deal, you know, eliminates the Giants drafting a quarterback at all, Colin. And I think you're 100% right. You know, you can't, there's no answer in the future on this team right now. Drew Lock's not your future. Daniel Jones is certainly not your future. And this is the year when you need to draft a quarterback, because there's a lot of good guys. There's a lot of depth. Just the way free agency is going now, if you want to touch on the draft briefly, just the way free agency is going now, it seems to me the Giants are probably going to look to draft a wide receiver in the first round. And I think you'll see them go after, you know, someone in the second round, potentially trading up to the late first round to grab a, you know, McCarthy, Penix, whoever else is, you know, they might be high on at the end of the first round if it seems like there's a run for quarterbacks going on. Mm-hmm. That's my prediction for the moment. Things can change, obviously, but it looks like, you know, they've shored up, you know, some of the offensive line positions. They've signed Devin Singletary, which we can get into too. So, yep. I mean, I feel that at the top of the draft, just so you have those three, like, really good number one wide receivers that, and it's such a glaring need for this team. Unless they go out and, you know, trade for T. Higgins, which I don't think they have the money to pay for. I just don't see it happening. All the other good number one wide receivers are unavailable at this point.
Yeah. I think we will all of a sudden, it's funny. We have a big need for wide receiver, like a playmaker right now, but as soon as we have one, and likely in the first round, look at the roster and it's kind of a wealth. It's a wealth at the position because, all right. Yeah. I mean, some guys are less exciting than others, but like everybody that we have on the roster currently can do something exciting. Every single one.
I mean, you know, I'm not against Slayton, Hyatt, Wandale. That's a solid trio. I just don't think there's like, if you have that one guy that the defense really needs to account for, it just opens things up so much for your offense.
Or those other guys.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, is I like Slayton a lot. I just don't think he's, you know, right now he's your number one receiver because Wandale's going to be in your slot. Jalin Hyde is a prototype number two, in my opinion, for the guy in a modern NFL who's just going to stretch the field, can, you know, run some routes, but mostly, you know, they got him involved in the game a little better towards the end of last year. I think they wasted a lot of his season. I mean, they wasted our time too. So not just his.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, you know, I agree with you, man. It's just that there needs to be that they need that one playmaker and they don't have it. And it's not Darren Waller.
Well, I was just about to bring him up because he sounds like he might be retiring to do his crappy rap career. You know what? I don't care. Leave. If you're unsure, just go. Like, I really don't care. You did nothing last year. If your heart's not in it, we don't want you. You know, it doesn't matter if you had good talent in the past, but I don't know, show up. You talk about how it's hard to get in the right mindset and go through that. It's, you know, people don't understand until they do it. It's like, you don't have to explain that to me. You get paid to play a children's game that hurts a lot. If you don't want to do it anymore, leave. But all the more reason to have a number one wide receiver to lessen the need to depend on a number one tight end. You can go into the season with what's his name? I'm completely blanking.
Bellinger
as the number one. If you have a solid number one from the draft wide receiver, I mean,
absolutely. I agree with that. I mean, if you look at out in the league and you look at tight ends, I mean, are there really, there's five guys in the entire NFL tops that are like difference makers.
Yeah.
You know, you might've included Darren Waller on a list of three guys that were difference makers 5 seasons ago.
Yeah.
He's certainly not on the list of 10 guys or 5 guys now. I mean, I think that number goes up every year as people get, you know, the tight end position changes. There's more athletic. It's more, you know, pass catch based, less blocking based. Not that, you know, the best ones can't do both, but obviously, you know, people are paying more attention to the flashy plays rather than the trenches.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I would be fine going into the season with Bellinger. I think he had a good rookie year, you know, I think he's only probably gotten better. Last year, obviously, he was quiet, but he wasn't on the field as much. Yeah. He wasn't given an opportunity.
Yeah, he was blocking. He was blocking more than anything else.
I mean, which you know, I mean, you know what? You go out and you find somebody, you know, in free agency. I haven't really looked at the tight end spot because I do expect Darren Waller to be back.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that is him or his agent or whoever put it out there was talking about how he wasn't sure. That's obviously coming across Shane's desk, and just, you know, he's got his, if I don't know, for to make a musical analogy in this whole thing, it's like Shane's in the control room with all the faders and all the you know, moving all the things. Well, when you see that Waller's possibly not going to stick around, well, all of a sudden wide receiver becomes that much more important. That is like the influx of what happens. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, not getting ahead of ourselves here, but I could easily see wide receiver in the first QB in the late first or second. And that would be,
I can't see them not picking a quarterback with the first or second pick. Yeah. I mean, second round, I could see defensive interior or cornerback if they don't sign somebody. Mm. But I think it's most likely, you know, that scenario, obviously, as we get closer to draft time, which is right around the corner, you know, things change rapidly. So I think we, you know, the one thing we'll see is JJ McCarthy probably shoot up the board and potentially be there for at number six. And if the Giants are high on him, I can see it. But anyway, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Let's get back into free agency. Let's talk a little bit about our offensive line here. Yeah. We got John Runyon. You know, if you guys are old heads like we are,
and familiar name,
heads, you know, Michael Strahan and John Runyon's dad had one of the best trench rivalries in the NFL history throughout the years when he played for the Eagles. Yep. So John Runyon Jr., he's on a 3-year, $30 million deal. Last year he had 6 penalties, 2 sacks, gave up 21 pressures and 568 pass snaps, 928 snaps in total. Did not really get rated too high by PFF. From what I've heard from Packers fans, it's that he's a pretty solid starter, but the Giants probably overpaid for him, which I think is pretty typical of day one in free agency anyway. So, I mean, you know, the Giants needed a guard. They went out and got a guard that they liked. I don't know if he's necessarily a huge upgrade from Glowinski or Brendison, but, you know, he's a body. He's going to compete. And, they need what they can. Got to take what they can get. At this
and point. We also might re-sign Bredesen, too. I mean, who knows? I mean, he'll probably be cheap. I think, if the Packers fans said we overpaid for him, that's fine because they don't understand how crappy our offensive line
is. So bad. Yeah.
So it's kind of like, well, yeah, we overpaid for him, but we didn't overpay for the garbage we had. So
And you know, let's see what the new offensive line coach can do with some of the younger guys. You know, Josh Azudu is a big, you know, dude. McKeithen's a big dude. They've really not done anything. I don't think they've ever been developed properly. Yeah. I think Bobby Johnson really stifled a lot of the draft picks. The Giants have invested more draft picks than any other team over the past 10 seasons in offensive line and have habitually had the worst offensive line in the NFL. So it has to roll down the you can't miss every single draft pick. It has to come down to coaching at some point.
Yeah. I think likely he will probably be a left guard, John Runyon, I would imagine.
That's fine. I'm just happy the Giants went out and spent some money to, you know, attempt to shore up the line. And they also went out and got Jermaine Elumunor. I can't pronounce this name at all. Elumunor. Do you think that's right? Elumunor?
I've actually never heard it said, so I'm not going to speculate. He's an English dude, which is interesting.
Is he now?
Interesting. He is. He's English. I think his parents were immigrants to England. Interesting story. I mean, he's a huge guy, huge dude with a lot of ability to play multiple positions, which if anybody's been following the Giants forever, you think of the David Deals of the world, the plug and play Swiss Army knife type characters, highly regarded on this team. So, yep. And he's incredibly excited to be working with this team. I mean, he came out and said the first football game he ever watched in his life was Eli and Strahan playing at Wembley against the Dolphins in 2007. He always wanted to play football after that moment. And he's just like beyond pumped to be in this uniform. So not that matters so much, but he's had a pretty good couple of years. He's only gotten better. by the year, it seems.
No, he's actually he's good. He can start. I actually love this move because I feel like it's him and Evan Neal straight up competition for that right tackle position, and whoever loses is playing guard.
Fine.
And that's what's going
to
happen.
Fine. And you know what? If Neal wants to be salty about it, it's time to grow up, young man. Like, you're in the NFL now. You're getting paid a lot of money. You're getting competition where you didn't have it in the past, and you have to put up or shut up. And guess what? You're still going to have a job regardless. You just may not have the exact position that you intended on playing in the first place.
You know, I remember my favorite quote, Evan Neal quote, is he came out of the womb playing tackle, which...
Badly.
I'm envisioning in my mind right now. It's a very strange picture.
So he was doing like the E Honda slap right out.
Yes, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I don't know. 6'4", 330 pounds. Jermaine, it looks ridiculous. I mean, the Raiders were what they were last year. I didn't really look at their line very much, but I've seen a little bit of his film against what he did to us. And there was something today about, of course, it was with Evan Neal in mind. It was like, I think he slapped Kayvon like completely out of a play, like just manhandled him. And something that Evan Neal's never done in his life, or at least at this level. And I don't know, someone said something like, I hope you know how to speak Chinese, buddy. You know, like one of those Adam Silver quotes, but no, it's like idiot stuff. Yeah, just be like ready. Be ready. Come this off season. Don't be a little baby boy. Come to play. Show that you're the best guy at that position and duke it out.
I'm gonna go ahead and predict that Evan Neal will be the starting right guard of the New York Giants next year.
And guess what?
No, I'm predicting.
If he's at even scratches as good as what Ereck Flowers ended up being as a right guard, then we're going to be okay with that.
That, you know what? You say that and it's funny, but yes, I agree. I agree.
Someone else actually said too, if Evan Neal has a future at playing right guard, don't wait until 7 games of the season to do so.
Agreed.
Do it now. And
I don't think we mentioned it's 2 years, $14 million. So favorable deal for a potential starting right tackle.
Great. And you know what? Probably as low as it was because he wanted to come to this team.
You know, potentially, it's it hard helps to tell. I'm sure, you know, if he's was he a local guy after he moved to New
York? He's from Jersey originally.
Okay. All right. Then I can see, yes, the whole hometown
district. Well, from Jersey, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're saying. And then we got one more guy we got to go over, Devin Singletary, who we got for 3 years, $16.5 million. So he's making, in 3 years, $3.5 million more than what Saquon's making in one. Obviously, they're not comparable players. Singletary did have career high, 900 yards, 4 touchdowns last year, 4.2 yards a carry, 1 fumble on 216 carries. I think Singletary is more of a committee dude because he's a total liability on third down. He can't catch the ball and he can't run. He's maybe worse than Saquon at run blocking, but I think that you see him in a committee with Brightwell, Ereck Gray, or potentially a draft pick, you know, whether late round or whatnot. I don't think the Giants go out in free agency and get anybody else. I could be wrong, but I think you either your complimentary back's on your roster or he is going to be in your draft.
I would love to have him, everybody else we have on the roster now, and draft some big mauler in the later rounds. That would be great. And just let them go for it. You know, figure out who's good at what and plug and play. Just like have them cycle them in and out, fresh legs. Who cares?
Yep.
You know, if we have someone who, you know, Gray showed that he can catch the ball a little bit towards the end of the season. So maybe he ends up being that guy. And then he ends up being like kind of the I don't want to say bell cow because that's not it, but like early downs would be good for him. I think I saw today that the last 6 to 8 games of the season, he led the AFC in rushing, which is kind of bizarre. You wouldn't really think that, but then you think about how the Texans did towards the end of the stretch, and it kind of makes a little sense. So I'm fine with it. I mean, he's a former Bills guy. Dable knows him for a while, and so does Shane. It makes sense. It's because that's what we do, and you know, whatever. It's running back.
I mean, I think there were other guys that you could have gotten for similar money or maybe a little more that I liked better, but like, you know, I'm not gonna fret over the running back position.
No.
These guys are going to, you know, whoever's back there, it's all going to be dependent on whoever on the offensive line anyway, and how they you know, hopefully improve this offseason to next year. So, I mean, I'm not, you know, as we said at the top of the podcast, you know, I think Saquon is fine to be gone. I'm happy to see Singletary. I think, you know, there's going to be complimentary guys on the roster. Just as you said, I think it's going to be a committee situation, and I think that's going to be a positive for the Giants.
Yeah, I think I'm happy that I don't have to even really think about the running back room. You know, it's just like, all right, there's some guys that are going to fight hard. They want to be there. They're not going to be prima donnas. They're getting their salary for the year, and they're going to figure it out. And now Dable doesn't have to worry about that soreness. You know, it's just going to be like, here's the plan. Here's how you're going to work in this plan. And let's figure it out, guys. And I think the moves that Shane has done in the first 24 hours here really kind of, I would imagine, just like shoot a spark into the team in terms of being like, all right, now it's starting to make a little more sense. Now it's starting to round out what Shane's vision was and was so incredibly hamstrung and not able to do so up until this point that, I mean, I'm sure Dable, I'm sure the staff in general had to explain this to the players. It's stuff that we wouldn't see as fans. Like, this is backroom stuff, like, especially how they have to explain it to Mara and ownership. Like, I'm sure that was difficult. Like, listen, it's going to take a couple of seasons. And it's probably going to take even a couple more seasons after that for it to fully come to fruition.
For sure.
And we're starting to see it because, you know, I mean, yeah, the cap went up, what was it, $10 million a year for every team? That was kind of not expected, it seemed. I mean, it always happens, but I guess that people didn't think it was going to go up that high.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and it only helps us because it almost gave, I'd say it gave us a half a season or maybe even a full season of catch up to get our books in order to, you know, be competitive on the spending market. That's basically the difference here.
And, you know, hopefully once Daniel Jones' contract is off and we have a rookie on a rookie deal, you know, obviously that's been a formula for success for, you know, basically everybody who doesn't have a quarterback named Patrick Mahomes on their team. and you know what's funny, man? I knew this was going to happen literally while we're doing the pod. Kenny Moore re-signed Indianapolis Colts 3 years, $30 million to Dobie Adunze. Signed with Tennessee Titans 3 years to be determined. So, you know, NFL free agency moves quick.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, let's get ready for a super stopgap type corner that will, you know, I think we're allowed to wait a little bit longer because we got Burns, and it's for that same old adage, you know, the best cornerback is a good pass rush. So
yeah, true.
I'd be okay with someone to save the money that is serviceable and then maybe draft somebody that can be developed or develop whoever we have on the roster now and keep building differently. I mean,
yeah, don't forget Fabian Monroe's available. So,
oh, we do not want him.
he had a couple good games with the Giants.
Yeah, well, I think that was one of the funniest nicknames I ever came up with.
Oh, somewhere. The Island of Dr. Moreau. it only worked for like two games, though.
Yeah, that he sucked. Didn't he like? Didn't he end up like slapping somebody or something? Like he did. Something
I don't remember the situation with that was. Yeah,
it's really dumb.
Some 15 yards BS.
Yeah. I don't even know why I remember that.
No idea. Before we go, Colin, do you want to discuss anything around the league free agency wise that you liked, didn't like? I just want to say that I'm so proud of Kirk Cousins for making the most. He made so much money in the NFL, and he's been, you know, a top tier quarterback who's pretty much accomplished nothing. So good for him. I mean, I think that he's made, you know, $200 million guaranteed at this point. $250 million guaranteed at this point?
I mean, I'm proud of them. Honestly, Falcons might be decent.
I think they're going to destroy that division.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all the memes on that. I think my favorite one was, I don't know, some skit with Shaq and Kevin Hart where
Shaq is just pumping him. Yeah,
it's like that's what the Falcons are going to do the rest of the division.
I did see that as well, yeah. You know what? Actually, I was kind of sad about. I do like Drew Lock, but I did want Jameis more. Because the sound bites are my favorite. I love the sound bites, dude.
I did. He's funny. I sent you guys all of the tweets of all the updates of it, or any rumors or anything like that, And the Jameis one, I refrained on doing it because I was worried that it was going to come to fruition.
You didn't want him at all.
I was like, no, I mean, he's got a big arm, but he's just such a big moron that I don't know if I love
how much of a big moron he is. It's like, but he's like, you know, when he was younger, he was kind of a dickhead, but now he's like a super positive moron. Yeah. And it's like very, it's great. I just like love watching his speeches with the team because they're all so funny.
Yep. Crab legs and stuff. Like, what are you doing, guy? I mean, a missed opportunity. Do you have the numbers for Gardner Minshew with the Raiders right now? Off the top of your head?
I do. 2 years, $25 million, which is too much for us.
That's too much.
He's going to start. He's starting there, isn't he?
Yeah, that's wow.
Is Garoppolo still on the team? At least he's going to compete with Garoppolo.
I don't. I guess
they need to draft a quarterback too.
Yeah, they do. They do.
A lot of people need to draft a quarterback, which is funny because last year, you know, I remember us trying to speculate like where the heck Baker Mayfield was going to end up because nobody needed a quarterback.
Yeah.
And now it's like five teams. Yeah.
And he ended up exactly where he needed to be too, which is weird in retrospect. I'm happy for him now. I used to hate his guts, and I think he needed a couple of seasons of jumping around to find humility, and he found it. And that's cool because now he's just like a wiser, still talented quarterback. So he just needed to like rid himself of the, you know, the sprinkling of Johnny Manziel-ism that he used to have on himself.
Yeah, I mean,
which, by the way, I watched that documentary. It's very good.
I watched it too.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you did. I enjoyed it.
Interesting, actually. I mean, what else I said, Baker, I think it's hard to be the number one overall pick. There's a lot of pressure. Sure. So I think, you know, he bounced around a little bit. He ends up in a spot where, you know, goes and wins a playoff game. I think he's in the best spot in his career right now. He's probably pretty confident. Doesn't have that, like, you know, number one overall pick thing in the back of his head anymore. Good for Baker.
Yeah, I think it's good. And, you know, with Mike Evans re-signing and, you know, he's going to have his wide receiver play thing for this season too. So, and they built a rapport. That's great. Any other moves that like really surprised me?
I do want to ask you, what is the Steelers' new tagline? Is it Steelers country? Let's weld or what?
Let's die. I think
Steelers country. Let's die.
Yeah. You know, Russ, he played better down the stretch last season, and you know I think he sucked when he first got there, and that was a big mistake on the Broncos' part. But like, I don't think he's completely done. I think he'll have some flashes this year. Hell, I mean, him in that uniform is so bizarre to me that I'm almost looking forward to seeing that by itself. Yeah. You know, in fact, I saw it was something on Instagram today. It was like, why don't they change the rules in the NFL where all free agents and trades and draft picks, you don't know until the first game of the season when they run through the tunnel onto the field. Everybody's head would blow up.
That's too much money to be made.
Yeah, I know. Anything else? I mean, Aaron Jones to the Vikings is a little funny and very similar to Saquon to the Eagles. Yep. You know, switching sides over there.
They cut him, so they literally were like, "We signed Josh Jacobs, and we don't want you anymore."
Well,
so
that's fair.
I can understand why he would sign with them.
That's fair, and he definitely did that to be like, "Well, you know, screw you guys, I'm going."
Also, there. You know, you got the proximity and location is helpful too, I'm sure.
Yeah, they're not too far from each other. I guess that makes sense. Anybody else that I don't know? There was nothing that really. I mean, King Henry with the Ravens is. I like that. I think that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to watching that, in fact. I don't know. I think one of the most underrated free agent signings of the whole 24 hours so far is your boy Olszewski, our kick returner and punt returner. I think I'm really excited about him more than anything else. No, I'm kidding. I mean, hey, we have an actual returner for the first time that is consistent, so that's kind of cool. I'm down with that. And, Tom Coughlin's grandson, Carter Coughlin, he re-signed too. Let's not forget that.
I forgot to mention Carter, of course.
Who is, you know, good at another special teams guy and very situational pass rusher. by situational, I mean once
incredibly situational. He's the most situational pass rusher in the NFL in the linebacker position.
Yeah, but what situations does he pass rush? Never.
There's like very few. Yeah.
Is there any other weird ones going on in the league that I haven't really touched on?
I mean, not really. Jacoby Brissett went to New England. I don't think that precludes them from drafting a quarterback.
Oh, Mac Jones to the Jaguars makes no sense. Yeah,
Mac Jones to the Jaguars.
Hate that.
Yeah, whatever. He can back up somebody.
He sucks.
Who else is good? Who else is funny? I don't know. Seeing Daniel Hunter went to the Texans. Didn't see that. Chase Young's still out there. I wonder where he goes.
Ah, he stunk last year.
He was okay.
Yeah.
He's okay. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it for tonight, guys.
Eckler to
The Commies.
Yeah, to the Commies.
Yeah, I think he only got $11 million for 2 years, which is a good deal. But I actually think that Eckler's probably done.
Yeah, maybe.
I think we saw the best of his career in LA, not San Diego.
Yeah.
I think he's gonna be good. I just don't think he's gonna have the same impact that he had on the Chargers that he will.
Okay, so I'll make it a collective thing in this line of thinking. The weirdest thing that happened so far is how quickly running backs went, and that was the first position that went. I think that was odd. That's not usually something that you see, even though, you know, teams don't rate running backs like they used to. It's still odd that they were the first really to go off the board. You don't really see that.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. There's not really that many guys left out there. J.K. Dobbins, A.J. Dillings, Dante Freeman, Clyde Edwards. Everybody else got signed.
Yeah, Joe Mixon was released and then traded to the Texans. So
yeah. I don't know how that worked out, but whatever. Yeah. Zach Moss is the new bell cow in Cincinnati, which is was my top target. But for $8 million a year for running back, I think it's a little overpaid.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us, Big Blue United, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow BBU Pod Boys with a Z on Twitter. Again, guys, please check out butcherbox.com. Get some meat. And I think we'll be back next week to talk some draft. Yeah, Colin?
Yeah, sounds fun.
All right, peace.
Bye.